Ah, another cold morning. Good morning.
It's not cold here. What's wrong with you?
Well, what do you call not cold?
38.
That's still cold.
No.
Well, I know it can
Silly
get...
boy.
Yeah.
That's like, why bother putting on a jacket when I go to the hardware store with her?
I was at an outdoor event all day yesterday, and it was in the high 20s, and there was one person who showed up in a pair of shorts.
Mm-hmm.
We had a,
well, this is starting off well. Do we want to? We started talking about weather. Do we need to bring up our various blood pressure and cholesterol medications too?
I was just hoping you'd talk for a bit so I could take mine because they're sitting next to me here. My coffee's not cool enough yet for me to take the medicine because I don't want to burn my tongue.
Oh, of course not. Yeah, we wouldn't want you to be able to not speak on our podcast. Mm-hmm. That would be awful.
Yeah. Oh, wait a minute. I just caught what you were trying to do there. Okay.
Oh, see that?
Well, we have to reclassify this into the old age section. Of the I don't even know where we're. I think we're in the business category.
Oh God!
I think I don't know where they have us. Well, there really is no agriculture category. Last I checked,
no, unfortunate.
No, there's nothing. They consider, so you know, disrespect. They consider agriculture a hobby.
Of course,
yeah, that would be hobbies. Hobbies, gardening. It was that, or call this business. I think business was closer.
Business is better.
Less insulting than calling
exactly.
this a hobby. So to all you hobbyists out there who sell things to put food on your table.
All the hobbyists that keep the country, you know, from starving to death.
Mm-hmm. So complain to your local iTunes provider. We got no housekeeping today.
Okay, good.
There's nothing going on.
Well, that's not good. I shouldn't say good. We should say every time we record this, we should have, you know, 20 or 30 new hopnologists to announce. That would be good.
It would be good. It would be quite good. But no, not this week. Not this week.
Got to keep us in our old man medication.
I don't even know what to say. I don't know what to say.
It's funny because it's true. It's funny because it's true.
Oh, boy. Can we do it? So for my day outside in the cold weather, did I tell you how many layers I put on? I'm such a wuss. I wear snow pants.
What?
I wore snow pants. It was 28 degrees outside.
Oh, for the love of...
It's not like I was going to get the mail. I was sitting out there for 7 hours.
Figured you'd had enough alcohol and you wouldn't have noticed and you actually had a case of hypothermia.
No, none of that. None of that.
Oh, this is Boy Scout stuff.
This is Boy Scout stuff, yeah. I was well behaved. And it was early in the morning. There was coffee, but that was it.
Okay, well, let's get on with it. What are we talking about today?
I don't know. We're talking about, so the scientific method. We spoke a couple of weeks back about the scientific method, about the idea of taking a true problem or a hypothesis, if you will, a question, and breaking it down into steps in order to figure out what you should do next, rather than just going with your gut, because you tend to miss some things when you go with your gut.
Very true.
Unless you got a gut like mine, which is all-encompassing. So we spoke about that, and we talked about the scientific method from what I would call a real science perspective in my condescending voice. You know, we talked about it from the way it's typically used, which is when you're looking at a problem that can be understood with math and testing. And typically you think about science. You think about horticulture when you think about it doing it that way.
Yeah, it's usually some sort of a physical experiment that's done to prove or disprove a hypothesis.
So we thought we'd do it again. But this time, let's talk about the business side of the farm, because the scientific method still involves, just like your business does, a whole lot of math.
Mm.
Yay, math. Woo-hoo. A whole lot of math and logical, rational thinking that requires you to divorce your preconceived notions from your final conclusions. We discussed all about, I forget what we even did for the science side of things. What did we talk about? Day length.
A couple of things. We did day length. When to cut back. You know, how do I know when to cut back and prune and all that kind of stuff?
Well, if you were a hopnologist, you could just ask. You could just be on the Discord and we'd tell you when.
Yeah, and then we'd tell you exactly what we'd tell everybody else.
Which is it depends.
It depends.
Mm-hmm. So why don't we look at this from a business perspective? You're approached by a brewer. And this is something that just happened to one of our hopnologists. You're approached by a brewer, and they say, I want this variety. and it's a variety you don't see very often. I can't find it anywhere. It's not a proprietary one. We know we can't do those, but it's a German variety that's not typically grown in the U.S. You know, I want this, and if you grow this, I will buy it. Okay, well, what does Gut say? Gut says, I'm going to be the only provider of this. This is a niche, and I'll always sell out, and I can keep the price where it needs to be. This is a great opportunity for me to have a one-of-a-kind product.
I can't lose. Why would you even need to go through this exercise, Greg? This seems like a no-brainer. Duh.
It does. Just go ahead and plant it, because even if you have trouble with it, even if it's not good in this environment, even an version of that hop is the hop they wanted. They said they'd take it. So do it.
Mm.
No, not really. Why don't we scientific method this puppy?
We're going to science it. Yes.
Okay, so our question is, and let's, we need a fake variety name. We got to call this something. Should I grow, or should we use a, well, I don't know, what was the variety that came up?
Sapphire.
Mm-hmm. Not sapphire, it's sapphire?
Sapphire, yeah. S-A-P-H-I-R.
Not remotely how I was going to spell that in my notes. Okay. Mm-hmm. So should I grow sapphire? Should I grow it is the question. And the hypothesis is what? The hypothesis is that, well, there's a couple of ways you look at this. One hypothesis is that I can even grow this stuff.
That's the science side.
Mm-hmm. There's a bit of Occam's razor here of what's the most logical reason no one grows this? Well, maybe it's really hard to grow here.
That is one. The other part of that is maybe there's no real market for it.
Mm-hmm. So your hypothesis here is, it's sort of a two-pronged. I can grow and sell this profitably. Let me throw the profitably in there. It's kind
profitably,
of
important.
Because you can grow and sell anything. You just
may break the bank doing it.
Yeah.
I mean, there has to be some assumptions made in any of these models when you're doing a thought experiment. Mm-hmm. So you have to assume that, A, you can grow it, physically grow it, so that we can actually get to the business question of, should I do this as a business decision? I think that's the caveat there. So assume that we can grow it. Assume that we can actually get our hands on it to grow it. Production issues aside, can we apply the scientific method, rational, logical thought process to hashing out the business question here?
Yep.
Is this a good idea?
Is it a good? So yeah, I think it's a better question to your point. Is it a good idea to do this?
Mm-hmm.
And part of the underlying things we have to figure out with this experiment is, can it be done? It's really the can it be done and should it be done? So our hypothesis is that this is profitably growable and there is a market for it. You've really got two hypotheses. You could make the argument this is two different tracks.
Yeah, don't. I would say let's not trip over our feet here, because I think ultimately the question we're trying to answer is, okay, so a brewer approached me, said, I can't get a hold of these hops. I'd be interested in them if you could grow them. So then me as a grower thinks, oh, one of the hardest things I have to do is sell hops. And here I have a brewer coming to me saying that they'll absolutely buy them from me if I grow them. And it's something I don't grow right now. Therefore, I should grow them. So I think the hypothesis is, because you're going to prove or disprove this statement, the hypothesis is because this brewer wants this hop variety, I should grow it. Prove or disprove that statement.
That works. So you get to the next part, which is experiment. And this is not an experiment in the sense that, we spent a lot of time last time talking about the fact that you can't really go year to year. The time factor screws things up because every season is different. You have to do your experiments being very careful with your controls. There's less of that type of an experiment here. And the experiment here is more combined with the data step, which is gathering information. You do your experiments are spreadsheet experiments, spreadsheet science.
Yep, we talk about them as thought experiments.
Thought experiments.
Right? There's no physical experiment happening. You're putting together these thought experiments. Einstein was famous for them. Just to sit and think about what happens, because you can run these scenarios based on most logical aspects. But I think you said it best, Greg, in the beginning, is to you've got to divorce yourself from what you want to be true and what really is likely to happen. And that is not easy to do.
Yeah, it really isn't. It really isn't. You get these internal biases that you so want, because here's opportunity. You are a hop grower like every other hop grower. There's nothing I hate to say something special about you, but there's no differentiation. Let's say it that way. And here is an opportunity for differentiation. And it's easy to want this to work so badly because it gives you something different.
Right. So let's gather the data, mm-hmm. look at the risks, and then weigh the risk versus potential reward and figure out whether we can prove or disprove the hypothesis.
Yep. Yep. So let's talk about data. What kinds of data do we need here? Well, first, there's the real demand, I would mm-hmm. say. That would come first and foremost. Because if the real demand's not there, there's no point in even looking at the viability of growing this.
A brewer does a data set not make. That's a data point.
That's a t-shirt is what that is.
I'm so full of them, man.
You are. You notice I never actually make any of these t-shirts.
You freaking profit over here. I wanted my Because Chemistry Bitches t-shirt, but, you know, it's not up on TeePublic yet or whatever.
It's not. Would it be Bitches or Biatches?
Bitches.
You just want Bitches. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. A brewer, a data set doth not make. Lord, Shakespeare's rolling over. Mm-hmm. But yes, one brewer is not going to give you the information. Even if that brewer is all gung-ho about it, it is a variety. And look, just the fact that I had to ask you how to spell it, which granted, I ask you probably every episode how to spell something. And it's not because I can't spell. It's because you use all these strange freaking words.
And you're just relative distrust for anything I say, I think, is part of that.
Well, I think I speak for the majority of our listeners when I...
I'm glad they have representation.
Yeah. That's, aren't I here to, you know, keep you kind of, you know, in some...
On the rails?
I was going to say in a box, but it's more like a freaking octagon, the way you keep punching out of it. Dodecahedron? I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Anywho. So one brewer is not going to give you the demand information that you need. So what, you know, talk to other brewers. Not only talk to other brewers, because brewers, not they're going to lie to you, but they very often they don't know what they want. And you're also talking about something that it's going to be a couple of years until you have a decent amount to give to even this one brewer. So is this a variety that is up and coming? Is it a variety that is just so completely out there that in the long run it's going to be easier and cheaper for this guy just to import it from overseas rather than get it locally from you for the volume that they're going to actually need? What is the volume of this variety in the, you know, in your local area and in the US in general, or North America, or wherever it is that you are growing? So you've got to think about that overall market.
And I think too, you need to have a degree of confidence in the request from that, let's say that single brewer. Mm-hmm. Is that brewer notorious for constantly changing up their beer styles? Or are they a legacy brewer who has... let's put it this way. It'd be one thing if the corner pub craft brewery comes to me and says, James, can you grow me, I don't know, Southern Cross? And it's another thing if Dan Carey from New Glarus comes to me and says, can you grow me Southern Cross? Mm-hmm. Because one of those two I have a much higher confidence level in, that if I invest the effort, that there's a likely outlet long term compared to the other one, which is going to see a squirrel cross the street and change his mind.
Yes, very true. And look, are you even selling to this brewer in the first place? I would say run away screaming. Maybe not screaming. Run away if the...
Well, at least you would wave your arms in the air.
Yes, yeah, wave your arms in the air. if the request is coming from someone who says, well, I don't buy your Cascade now, but I would if you also could sell me some Sapphire. Mm-hmm. No. That's partially their interest in getting that hop, and partially they're trying to get you to go away. Yeah, it has to be a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're putting in all the risk here, all the risk.
All of it. There's no guarantee, because I would guess that as soon as you start saying, yeah, I'm interested in doing that for you, let's look at a contract. Whoa, wait a second. No, I'm not sure I want to do that. Okay, well, that tells you a lot, too. Yeah. But we're solutioning here, and we should be discussing data collection.
We should be. So data collection, who would use this? Who would use this? How much would they use? How easy is it to get elsewhere? And we're not saying buy it from elsewhere yourself and stick your label on it. We're just saying if it's if the path is just too difficult for a volume that's just not there, you know, not the worst thing to recommend to your brewer. You know what? I think you're just better off importing that. It does not work here. Because the volume's not, or the volume's just not worth it for me. So collect your volume data. Mm-hmm. Then you've got to collect data on, is growability a word?
Yeah, sure.
It is for us.
There's the horticultural aspects to consider. Let's put it that way. Does it grow here? If you don't know, because it's not grown here, to your point earlier, is it because it doesn't grow well here, or just that nobody's done it before? And if no one's done it before, what data can you gather about similar varieties? Mm-hmm. Right. In this case, Saphir is a Hallertauer variant that was bred for improved disease resistance. Okay. How well does Hallertauer grow in your area? I would look at that. And some of the other Hallertauer variants, even the U.S. variants. If they don't grow well in your area, it's probably a pretty good indicator that this particular Saphir variety isn't going to grow well either. Not 100%, but pretty good indicator. So that would be a red flag for me. It's like, that would tell me, if it was a giant pain in the ass for me to even get a hold of the plants to try, that might be enough of an indicator to say, you know what, I'm going to spend my energy elsewhere.
Yeah, exactly. Put your energy somewhere else and put your farm resources somewhere else. Mm-hmm. And I think that's really the next question, which is after whether it will grow here, is what will this do as you're gathering that data and doing that spreadsheet science? What does this do to your existing business model? Do you need to pull out something in order to put this in? Do you need to expand to put this in? And if so, do you now need additional equipment, additional manpower? You know, you certainly need additional something. You're getting additional crop out of it. So you get back into the spreadsheet science again and look at your balance sheet. That's it's an expansion model.
It is. And I think that's relative to how big you are to begin with. I'm sitting here right now thinking, okay, on our 5 or 10 acre trial yard, you know, that's where our field lab that we had, if a brewer came to me and said, yeah, I'm interested in this variety, can we grow it here? If all they're looking for is a couple of 100 pounds, okay, I can find a row somewhere to try this, because it will also give me a data point, right? But it's not like I'm expanding by 50% in order to accommodate this questionable demand. Right. So I think that expansion scale, both your scale as a grower, knowing how much, if you had to expand, what that would do to your overall cost of operation, as well as, you know, what is the actual demand from the brewer? If it's a small lift and there's value in the experience, okay, that's tells you one thing, tells you, you know, it's maybe a check mark in the pro column. But if it's like, no, they're talking about, you know, I need to put, you know, I'm at an acre and I need to go to 2-3 acres to do this. You'd be like, what's your risk exposure there? Mm-hmm. I don't know. Pretty risky.
Yeah. If you have to actually expand your yard for it versus, to your point, just throwing in a row. I mean, throwing in a row, that's, wow, light year difference between expansion versus just, okay, yeah, we've got a row we're not even using.
Yeah, it's underperforming, or yeah, I wanted to get rid of that anyway, or, you know, whatever it happens to be. Mm-hmm. Tuck it in a corner somewhere, see how it does.
Yep.
You know, that's experimental or exploratory work, as opposed to saying, I'm going to go in with a capital investment and expand my operation for this questionable at this point. Because your data gathering may tell you, no, actually there is demand here. Why isn't anybody doing this? And oh my God, I'm onto a gold mine and I'm going to get rich. Slow your roll, back up.
And I would make the argument that these three components we've talked about, that you're in data collection, your demand data, your growability, and your balance sheet / operational impacts, you know, they don't all have to give you a full-on green light. So I guess what I mean by that is I'm enamored by this idea of having a row that you're not using where your impact to operations is next to null. If that's the case, even if you see that, even if the demand is not quite sure, and the growability is a question mark because you don't know, there are worse things you could do with an empty row than take a test.
Right. I agree with that. And that's, we always had empty rows or empty spots in rows to do various trials, because you never know. Mm-hmm. But that's a totally different approach than saying, hey, this brewer wants me to grow these hops and nobody else is doing it. And this is where I'm going to make my splash and everything's going to be great. And finally, we're going to eat. No, slow down. That's not. Be realistic about this.
Right, right. Don't do the equivalent of, I got a hot stock tip. I'm now cashing out my 401k to invest everything into it. Mm-hmm. That is not the way to approach this, but it's the way. Look, some people, they get starry eyes when someone comes to them, like you said at the very beginning, a grower is finally telling me what they want. I'll be the only guy in town who has it. This is a moneymaker. Here we go.
Applying the scientific method to a business case is more about, I mean, let's face it, if you're running a physical experiment, you will more likely than not get results that are ambiguous. And so you repeat the experiment, mm-hmm. and you repeat it in order to suss out where all of the potential noise is coming from, such that you're not getting a clear answer to, prove or disprove your hypothesis. If it keeps coming up like, I just don't know which way to go, it's ambiguous, and maybe you haven't framed your question correctly. Mm-hmm. In this case, with a business use case, it's about risk tolerance, I think. And you're never going to get you rarely will get a clear indicator of this is an absolute slam dunk. You're more likely to get a clear indicator of what the hell was I thinking? Why would I want to do that? This is too insane. But it's about that risk management standpoint. Mm-hmm. You're saying, yep, I understand. The data I get out of this scientific method for a business process is showing me where my risks lie, and am I okay with those risks?
Yeah, I think that's an excellent way of looking at it. To your point, there's not going to be a yes no here. There's going to be would anyone else think this is a good idea?
There's going to be the, you know what, all signs point to yes, but I know there's some risk over here and I'm willing to take it, or I knew I shouldn't have done that.
Mm-hmm. Everyone told me I shouldn't have done that.
Yep.
Everyone told me. Yeah, that's a great way of looking at it, that it's much less of a straight yes or no. It's
non-binary.
Exactly. Yep. And then, so we've done all that data collection, I think we just talked about the analysis part, which is taking these pieces of data and really putting them in contrast to each other to figure out what seems to make the most sense. And then, as you said, it's, risk management. You kind of report out on the whole thing. You put it all back into context and say, okay, let's go back to our hypothesis. Now that I know these things, because before all I was thinking about was someone asked me for something. No one's ever asked me before. I've been begging my way into these brewers and someone asked for something. I feel loved. I finally feel loved. Mm-hmm. Now you have all this backup data and okay. Huh. Emotion out. Does this make sense within my willingness to risk? That is scientific method for a business question where you're not, it's less experimental design. And to your point earlier, more thought experiments, I believe you called it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So let's run this example to a potential conclusion. The hypothesis was, because this brewer is looking for these hops, and I've been trying to get in with, expand my customer base and try to get all of this information or trying to get all of this new business, I should do this. Because if I don't, I'm going to lose this business. Well, you don't have the business.
Yeah.
So really the question is, if by doing this, what does it do for me? Because ultimately you've got a long row to hoe before you actually get to making a sale on this potential variety. So what does it do for me? Is the cost of doing that, the actual physical cost, and the cost of doing this because it's going to take away from doing something else, is that worth anything? What is that worth? And what is the risk there of me doing that? The physical monetary risk, the time suck risk, all that kind of stuff. And so if you say, you look at all that, you say, okay, they're looking for a couple hundred pounds. How good of a grower are you? Would you ever be able to make a pound and a half per plant dry of Saphir? Let's not fool yourself. If you're growing Cascade and you're getting 600 pounds of the acre, not likely going to going to work out well for you mm-hmm. to hit those numbers. So then you'd have to say, okay, I can't use the published data on Saphir. So now I have to go with the data that I know, which says I'm going to derate that yield by 2/3. So now you need a lot more space and input in order to get to the yield numbers that you need so this guy can or gal can have their hops.
And that's assuming their demand will wait for your supply.
Correct, which it won't. So adding all those things up, would I do that? I would not for my risk tolerance. Yep. It's not worth my effort, and it's not worth the risk. Does that mean that we let that opportunity go? No. But I think we need to pivot and change, as I like to tell my teams, change the state of play. Change the discussion. Okay, Ms. or Mr. Brewer, you want this Saphir. It's a Hollow Tower variant bred for better disease resistance and higher yield. It has a bright, fruity, kind of lemony character. Why do you need to use this variety versus something else? Well, because I need it. So you get into this discussion and say, what is it that you need out of it? And they say, well, I put it here in my brewing and it, you know, I like this character I get from it. Okay, that's great. Is there another variety out there that we can use and maybe put it someplace else in the brewing to get you a similar character or even something you might like better that I can get a hold of? And have that discourse with them and start digging into the details. That's ultimately going to add, in my opinion, way more value to the brewer than running off and putting in some variety that you don't know you can grow and they don't know if they're going to use in another 5 years. So I think that builds more of a relationship long term and your credibility as a partner in this and not just some guy or girl out there growing hops somewhere. You're helping solve a problem for them.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a great point. And even if the finding is that it's yet another variety you don't grow, but it's a variety with much more well-rounded application where you would see a much higher market for it, that changes your equation and your input data. So maybe that does become a reason to expand into something different.
This question, the hypothesis, is about directly about interfacing with brewers and selling your product and building your business. I wanted to highlight how you can do this analysis just as we did. It doesn't take a lot of time to do that. Certainly, it will take more time if you're less experienced. But after you get a number of ass whoopings under your belt, you get your gut's pretty good at determining what kind of beating you're going to take.
Well,
and
yeah.
If you don't listen to your gut, you will continually be bruised. so you get to the point where you can be like, I'm not sure about that. No, but let's pivot and say, what is it about that hop variety that you like? And is there anything else that I can do for you that gets you in that ballpark?
Mm-hmm. And to your point, this is an easy exercise. It took us all of, 25 minutes or so to basically, I think the results of this episode will materially impact the amount of Saphir on the market.
Because
no one's going to grow it who listened to this.
Yeah.
It's already pretty small out there.
I'm going to tell you, anybody who's already growing this isn't listening to us, so it's okay. This production is all legacy production in Germany, and their farms are small. They're not like Pacific Northwest farms, so it's not a surprise that it really hasn't caught on, because why? Well, it's a Hollow Tower variant. It's more disease resistant. Okay, but I mean, German farmers resist putting in irrigation as a change to their production because they've never needed to. So they're going to drop in a new variety because you're saying it's more disease resistant. No. So you've got that aspect to come up with. I mean, there's plenty of other varieties that come out on the market that they say the same thing. I mean, varieties that you can get a hold of as a grower in North America that are open varieties there's dozens and dozens and dozens of them. They're not brand new and flashy. But hey, what's old is new again. So dig into the back catalog of the genotypes that are available and see what else is out there that you have access to give it a shot.
Yeah. And of course, we've said this many times directed at the brewers saying, try some of the classic varieties that are out there. Why do you need all this new crazy stuff? And we could go on we're getting way, way off topic. We could go on for hours about that.
Pulling this all together to say the results out of my thought experiment, in this case, given our risk tolerance and given what we know about or how we assessed the market conditions and the potential risks, we would say, you know what? The potential reward is not worth the likely risks I'm going to face.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So I'm going to say it's 70% risky, 30% profity.
Profity? Really?
Profity.
We've made up quite a few words. That might be 30, my favorite.
30% profity. Yeah.
Profity.
Not, that don't work for me. I'm not willing to take that kind of a calculated risk on 30%.
Yeah. And, you know, if you take anything away from this, it's, to me, one of the most important parts of what we came to as we went through that discussion was we're not saying, say, nope, not doing the Safir thing. Thank you. Have a nice day. Use this. You can still use this to further your relationship with that brewer, this conversation.
Absolutely. Yep. That's where I was getting to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You were taking too long. So I just figured I'd say.
I know. Yeah. Thank you. They are approaching you. So they're coming to you because for something, right? Now, I like the way you put it earlier, which was, you know, they either are coming to you because they do need something and they know you're in the area and they're like, hey, maybe this guy can help me or gal can help me solve my problem. Or they're telling you this to make you go away.
Mm-hmm.
Or they're just trying to placate you. So engage them a little more and find out more about what it is that they need from you. Mm-hmm. Because you have more to offer than just being that person who can put plants in the ground and spend long days pulling flowers off of them.
Yeah, don't let this be a snipe hunt.
Snipe. Oh, I remember those days.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh.
So I've got a couple, just when you think about scientific method, I've got a couple of other, you know, questions. We won't go through these in detail, but other ways you might use this. And really, it's a way of using logic and reason and process instead of just using your gut. So an example is, okay, it's time to expand. I need more acreage. More acreage means more hops, means more profit. So your gut tells you, I'm selling everything I have. If I build more, I'll sell more. Yeah, great. Do the math.
Yeah.
Do you
how?
Yeah. Do you have the...
Is it...
Go ahead.
Go ahead. No.
I was going to say, do you have the capital available to expand? What kind of... I mean, you're going to get economies of scale by expanding, but you're also... You may have to invest in a larger tractor. You may need a larger harvester. You'll certainly need a larger oast. There are... It's not just a matter of, I need to buy X more plants and put up X incremental trellis. Your entire operation's impacted. So do your math. These all come down to do your math.
Yeah, it's the non-linearity we talked about ad nauseum. It's not linear. Well, it is to a certain extent. You know, if you're going from 1 to 2 acres, it's fairly linear. But, you know, if you're saying, okay, yeah, this 2 acre thing worked out, I'm going to go to 10 or 15, it's not linear. So you just can't draw a line. Increased slope that says, okay, well, it cost me this much to do this 2 acres. It's going to cost me this much to do 10 acres. Uh-uh. Doesn't work that way. Start over with all of your business assumptions and build that into it to determine whether you can expand like that.
So what about the dream we all have? Someone comes in and says, I want to buy into your business. I'll give you, you know, we're having cash flow issues. Here's some cash.
Sucker. Yep.
So that...
Take the money and run.
Yeah, and there's the gut talking... Take the money.
Yeah.
We're having cash flow issues. Anyway, let's take their money. Run the numbers. We've talked many times about one of the reasons you got into your own business is to be your own boss and to own your own business. Bringing in partners, bringing in people who are there solely to see you turn a profit, that changes the dynamic in every possible way of your day-to-day.
I can run off the number of growers that started out that way and then sold out to large money investors because it would make them big in the hop world. Mm-hmm. And none of them are around anymore. Just saying.
Yeah. And then what about processing? It's time to start processing. And it's time to start processing because all of your brewer customers, potential customers, are saying, I would buy from you, but I can't use whole cone. I need pellets. So gut tells you it's process or I'm out of business. But you still need to go through the exercise. You need to do the cost benefit. You need to figure out the what this is going to do to the timing of everything, the cost of everything, but also what your demand curve will look like when it's all done. What was the example I used the other day you and I were talking about? You know, when you go out for the day and you come back and your business partner has installed a processing lab and you didn't agree on it. It wasn't right in your business plan.
Mm-hmm. It was a good idea, though.
It worked out for us, but yeah. What is this, dude? Don't turn that on.
Pretty much, yeah. Don't ever, ever touch that button. Mm-hmm.
This is the biggest coffee machine I've ever seen. So any question you have, hey, approach it to your home life, the scientific method. I don't have an example for that, but they're racing through my head. I'm not going to share any of them. You
know? Yeah, I like the quick gut check is, will future me be mad?
Mm-hmm.
Will yeah. future me be mad and or sad? Because
or,
whatever that
or in trouble.
Or in trouble, yes. Yeah. Because the decision that I make in the now to satisfy my lizard brain for, you know, now, give me. Is future me going to be upset with past me because of this decision? Now, granted, you can't see the future, and sometimes you got to take those calculated risks. But mm-hmm. it is something I literally in my thought experiment say, what will future James think about this?
I don't even know what to say.